Let's read together from Genesis chapter 1. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature." God formed man out of the dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. Then God planted a garden in Eden in the east. He put the man he had just made in it. God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. This is the word of the Lord. Two stories. I spoke to a manager that told me that his job is basically to take care of a big warehouse. He purchased the goods, inspect it, keep it safe, and then distribute it again. He is also responsible for the systems and for the people that's got to get the job done. And he said, that's where most of my challenge lies. If they only do what they're supposed to do, my job would have been great. But I'm stuck. I wish I could become the manager. I did. And now I know it's not what I want to do with my life. But I can't do anything else. Job or scares, and I've got to provide for my family. He said that he's meeting with a few friends every week, and they discuss their lives and their life with God, with each other. And they started talking about work. And they actually developed a theology of work, you know, words about God, words from God about work. And he said his whole mind shifted. He reframed his work after that experience. He now discovered that he's actually doing something good through his work. He's providing housing. He's just one of a big team that are doing it, but he plays an important part. He provides safety, comfort, security for people. He helps to provide to the basic needs of people. And he says it's something good. He said, I tend to lose the big picture and get caught up in just the medial tasks in front of me. I've got new meaning, but the biggest thing that shifted to me was the way that I look at people. I saw them as instruments to finish the job. Now I realize they're people. And I realize each one of them stands beside a pool of tears. There's so much pain. They all tried. And some of them has given up on even trying to do something good and to do their job good. Now, I look at myself in a different way. I see myself as somebody coming alongside of them, serving them. He said, it's been such a journey for me, getting to know myself, to really help and to assist in helpful ways, not do harm while I'm trying to do something good. Although it's not easy, it's an easy yoke compared to the yoke I had to carry. My work found new meaning. That's the first story. The other one is about a person who just retired, went on an early retirement. He said, and after seeing all the birds in South Africa, all the flowers in South Africa, visited most of the nice vacation sites in South Africa, I'm tired. I can't go on holiday anymore, and I don't like to travel anymore. And there's something missing in my life. He said that I'm happy in my marriage. I'm happy in my church, my relationship with God. But I'm losing interest. There's something that I've got to do. And one day, while he did the reflection prayer, reflecting at the end of the day, through the events of looking back at the events of his day, and trying to discover where God was busy working in my life, he discovered two meetings he had that gave him life. And they had to do with sharing his experience, his knowledge, his wisdom with other people. And they really benefited from it. And they said, please, can we get together? Are you willing? We'll pay you for it. And he realized, this is the missing ingredient in my life. I can't just live for myself and enjoy life and not give something. And he said, I had a wrong idea about freedom. I thought being free meant that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. And now I realize it's not true. It's like an eagle with guinea fowl. You can't stand the ground and run around with a guinea fowl if you're an eagle. You've been designed in a different way. Your nature is different. You've got to do something else. Freedom for an eagle means something different. And he realized that if I embrace my makeup, who I am, and if I give and contribute something, it gives me a lot of life. So he decided to give away some of his freedom and make a commitment to journey with people in order to share what he has with other people. I couldn't help but think of Erikson, the developmental psychologist that said, man has to teach. And he said, it's a very important dimension of life to choose growth. And sometimes it's not even a conscious decision that you make intentionally, but if you don't do it, you will get stuck in life. And you will not move forward in life. And you will stop being generative and contribute in life. And I said, that's a bad place to be in. It's a spiral. Eventually, it will lead to mental health challenges. You've got to do it. That's the way we're made. And of course, that's a message of the book of Genesis, the book of the beginning. That's how God made us. To live in a relationship with him, to live in a relationship with each other, and to live in a relationship with the world. We've got to go deeper, we've got to move closer to each other, and we've got to go further with our lives. If one of those dimensions is missing, you will not become a human being fully alive. There will always be something missing in your life. No matter how successful you are, no matter how happy you are in your marriage, no matter how spiritual you are, if you miss a dimension, your life won't work. So here's the invitation today to look. That's one of the first commandments that we found in the Bible. It was a commandment to Adam and Eve, look. I love the King James, behold, a holy gaze. At what? Well, first of all, look above you. You're made. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image. God said, let us make people in our image. Who's the us? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a community, that formed a community, that have a deep bond with each other, shared this thought, this idea, and they agreed. Now, this bond can best be described by the word love. That's why John says, God is love. Everything that we can see comes out of love. Is there because of love? God was not lonely. God has no needs, but God has a desire, because he is love, to give what he has, to share what he has with the other. Now, if that is something of the image of God, it is something of our image, because we are made in the image of God. That is what God is like. So if you can, behind all the veneer, behind all the thoughts, behind everything that you do, get to your essence, to your true self, you'll discover love, a capacity to love, and a desire to share what you have. That's your true self and makeup. You can go against it, but then you will never become fully alive and a fully human. Now, just look at the other aspects of the image of God. God created, and he was so creative in the act of creating. We've got to do it. That's how we are made. We don't create like God out of nothing, but we create out of what is. You know, like God who brought order out of chaos. It's what we do all the time. If we cut our hair, if we do the maths, if we teach, if we learn, if we heal, we, out of pain, we bring healing. It's something that we've got to do. We work because God works. We're made in the image of God. Now, a lot of us has a negative idea of work, and we think that the ultimate life, like my friend, is not to work. That work is actually part of the fallen nature of man, you know? But we've got to see that God actually worked before the fall, and he rested. And to go against that is to go against your deepest self, your nature, if you go against it. There is a negativity about work. I mean, in Greek mythology, Pandora's box are opened and terrible things are released through opening that box. And one of those things are work. And that's why Cicero and Socrates, for instance, says that the soil is bad, the soul is good. And work is demeanial. Work takes away something of really being human. They said, if you have to work, do something with your head. But it's not the image of God, the idea that we have of God. This is our essence. This is our makeup. And through embracing it, we can make things better. Because things have gone wrong in this world. And Jesus is busy with a restoration project. And he invites us to become part of it. So look above you, but look in you. You are given something. You are gifted. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man named the cattle, named the birds of the air, named the wild animals, but he didn't find a suitable companion. Now, just look at this very important aspect of creation and of our existence. God created us with abilities. Adam had this tremendous ability to name things. Have you ever tried to come up with an original name? It's not that easy. I tried to, couldn't do it. I had to adapt and change a name that I had with a little bit. He was tremendously creative. We all have abilities, but you don't have everything. He needed a helpmate, somebody to help him. With somebody. Paul uses the image of the body. And he said, we are all members of the body. Some of us, a hand, for instance. Others, an eye, for instance. And it tells us that he invites us, first of all, to accept how God has made you and how God has gifted you. Why do we want other gifts? And not the gifts that we have. It can cause so much pain to yourself and to the people around you if you don't accept yourself. And you know, a degree won't give you a gift. A degree can help you perhaps to develop the gift that you have. Accept who you are. Some of us don't have peace because we can't accept how God has made us. He decided. He gave us those gifts. Don't despise gifts and think other gifts are more important. You're a 10, made by God, accepted. Another thing that Paul says is that we shouldn't do is we shouldn't despise other people. We shouldn't project our gifts on other people. Projection means that I would say, but why aren't you all hands? I'm a hand. It's very good to be a hand. It works for me. Why don't you do it? Or it's very simple to be a hand. Just grip and you can pick something up. But I can't do it. Have you ever done it? Expecting something of somebody that you feel is so simple to do it, and I just couldn't do it. That's one of the indications that it's your gift. It is so natural. Doesn't take a lot of effort. If you go against your gift, it's like writing with the other hand. If you left-handed, you try to write with your right hand. And you'll discover you can do it. But it's not easy and it takes a lot of energy out of you. That's the reason for a lot of burnout. It's a reason for a lot of failure in our lives. We are disconnected and we don't know who we are. And we don't know what we can do. So the big invitation is to go on a journey to really look at yourself. Who am I? What gives me life? But what can I do? The last invitation is to look around you. Because you are called. God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and to keep it in order. Verse 29, behold the garden. Look at the place where God has placed you. The old advice of the desert father was, don't easily move. Perceive what is around you. You'll discover brokenness. Something needs tending. There are needs around you. And if you can be a matchmaker, match your gift with a need that you become aware of, you discovered the call of God for your life. It will bring tremendous life and joy in you. Buchner says, the place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Henry Nouwen says, the disease of our time might be scotosis. And scotosis is the Greek word for blindness. And he says we are living with a partial blindness, a loss of sight. And we can't see what's really going on. We don't see the need around us. We don't see the tending that needs to be done. And Henry Nouwen says that the big reason that we're blind is because of our narcissistic tendencies. We are self-absorbed. And he describes the culture that we live in of iPhone and selfies, you know. And one of the big reasons is that can be described in the whole phenomenon of looking at a group photo. If you look at a photo where a lot of you are together, where do your eyes go to first? Do you tend to look, where am I? And then your evaluation of the photo would be, this is a good photo if you look good. That perhaps is something of the core of the challenge that we live with in this world. We are curved in on ourselves. And that's why we can't see. Sometimes we see the need, but we don't want to go there. We don't want ourselves, we don't want to allow ourselves to feel it. I cut myself off from it. And it is as if the other people's pain is not real to me. My pain is the only real pain that I'm aware of and want to tend to. And of course, it is difficult to do that. And there is a fear that I might be overwhelmed by the pain of other people if I really find out what's going on and listen to their stories and feel it. And there's also a fear that it might uproot my life. You know, perhaps I'll have to do something about it. Yes, but that is exactly the invitation. To move outside of yourself. To do something for the common good. To use the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. To contribute to the common good. And in that way, your life won't be small. And you won't live your life in a small way. In that way, you'll find deep meaning. And you will become yourself. You will pay a price. There would be some things that you have to say no to in order to do this. It will take some of your time, your attention, energy, resources. But the payoff is so big. So friends, here's the invitation. We're at the end of this series. Just to look at God. How He created. Look at the image of God. Discover the image of God in you. That's your essence. That's our essence. To get in touch with it. To get to know it. But then to look at yourself. The next layer of your essence is your gifts. It's the things that God has given you. It's the way that God wants you to be in this world. It's the will of God for your life. To honor the gifts that He has given you. And to start using them. Look at the place you're in. Are you aware? Can you see? Do you allow yourself to be moved with compassion? Now is the time. Now is the time to answer to the call of God in your life. Amen. So every year, we come to you and we like to share with you our dreams and our vision for the year. I want to ask you to please excuse me if I do this in Afrikaans. Next year, I've got an English coach and I'm trying my best to master this language. And next year, I plan to do it, God willing, in English. But here it is. Ons tema vir die jaar is weer vir die eerste keer. En om dit te verduidelik is 'n metafoor miskien die beste. Verbeel jouself. Ons is allemaal saam op 'n boot. Die boot van Mosaïek. En skielik tref 'n tsunami ons. Die pandemie. En ons moet toevlug soek. Skuiling soek. En ons is hawe toe. Skielik is ons aanlyn. Vas. Ons kan nie beweeg. Soos wat ons altyd beweeg het en goed gedoen het nie. Ons moet deel met groot verliese. Dit was 'n groot storm. Menseverlies, verhoudingsverlies, drome wat verlore gegaan het, aktiwiteite, finansiële verlies, is groot die verliese waarmee ons moet deel. Maar ons het gewerk, ons het versorg, gewerk aan die boot, en nou is die tyd weer reg vir ons om uit te vaar. Ons het begin, want ons is nie gemaak om in die hawe te lê nie. Ons is 'n reddingsboot, nie 'n plesierboot nie, nie 'n duikboot nie, nie 'n passasiersboot nie, nie 'n oorlogboot nie. Ons is nie besigheid van redding. Ek hou van die Griekse woord vir red. Zoutsou, in Schofield vertaling omskryf hom so, to bring to safety, healing, soundness, deliverance, wholeness. Dis ons besigheid. En ons is nou net begin uitvaar, uit die hawe uit, nou in 'n nuwe realiteit. Ons noem het Ipal, in persoon, online. Dis hoe ons die lewe en die werk nou saam gaan doen. Dis niet, dis vir die eerste keer. Die boot is niet, die omstandighede is niet. Die tsunami het die landskap totaal verander. Ons is in 'n ongekarteerde wêreld waarin ons inbeweeg. Ons het duidelikheid, maar ons het nie sekerheid nie. Ons weet nie wat gaan gebeur nie. Ons span ons seile. Ons gaan probeer. Ons seile sodat die wind ons kan vat. As hy nie kom nie, as die gees nie waai nie, as die gees nie werk nie, te vergeefs al ons pogings. Ons glo, ons vertrou. Die boot is gebou deur verhouding. Dit is die materiaal waaruit hierdie boot bestaan. 'N verhouding met God, ek, u, ons wil dieper gaan. 'N verhouding met mekaar, ek, jy, ons wil nader beweeg. 'N verhouding met die wêreld waarin ons leef, ek, dit, ons wil verder gaan met ons lewe. Want verhouding is alles. Verhouding bepaal jou lewe, die energie wat jy nou het, is as gevolg van die verhouding waarin jy leef. Jou geluk is nie jou bankrekening, is jou verhouding, maar ook jou pyn, ook jou genesing, gaan kom deur verhouding met God, mekaar en met ander. So, en daar's geweldige, groot behoefte deur die tsunami aan herstel, genesing. So hier is die uitnodiging, dat ons in hierdie jaar wat voor is, sal groei. In hierdie nuwe realiteit, hierdie nuwe lewe wat ons moet leef. En dat ons sal genees. Twee groot fokuspunte. Hier is die persoonlike uitnodiging. Ontwikkel 'n manier van lewe. Dis Paulus se uitnodiging. 'N Verhouding gebeur nie net vanself nie. As jy nie ritme inbou nie, as jy nie tyd maak, aandag skenk, luister nie, hoor nie, kan daar geen verhouding wees nie. Hier is 'n uitnodiging om dieper te gaan, jou verhouding met God te bou, deur sy woorde te ontvang, weekliks. Weekliks. Kom ons by mekaar, want die hoofvoedingsbron van 'n verhouding is woorde. En as jy daai woorde kan hoor, dan bring dit lewe. Dis kos. Dit verander jou gedagtes. Dit gee vir jou krag. Dit laat jou hart brand. Ons kan aangaan. Dis waar die lewe begin. In 'n ontmoeting, in kommunikasie met die Here. As jy nie 'n persoon kan wees nie, dan word jy uitgenooi. Bly in kontak deur aanlyn die woord te ontvang. Maar dan moet daai woord in jou ingewerk word. Jesus sê, "Work these words into your life." Jy word uitgenooi daagliks om 'n stilte tyd te hou. Twee groot ondersteunende aktiwiteite wat ons het is die formasiereis in die oggend wat jou dalk meer gedagtes kan gee, kan stimuleer om te dink oor die woord, te mediteer, te bid oor die woord, want dis hoe jy die woord in werk in jou in. En dan is daar praksis waar jy geleentheid kry om die woord weer te hoor en dan net met die Here op jou eie te praat, te dink oor die woord of net te sit by die Here. Hier is die uitnodiging, kom rook wat ons verkoop. Want ons rook wat ons verkoop en is goed vir ons. Tweede, volgende stap wat jy kan neem is om nader te beweeg. Dit is wanneer jy besluit om jou lewe ook te deel en dit wat jy het te deel. So jy ontvang nie nou net nie, jy deel ook. Dit gebeur in 'n klein groep, mesou omgewing. En Paulus sê, hoe staan die saak as hulle by mekaar kom, dan het elke een van julle iets. Ons gee vir mekaar. En dit is 'n wonderlike ervaring as jy ervaar hoe die gawes van lering, van ondersteuning, van bemoediging, van heling na jou toe kom deur ander mense wat ook daai gawes het. So jy het nou 'n behoefte waar jy is. Miskien is dit net om te groei. Miskien is dit om los te kom in die groef waarin jy vasgeval is. Miskien is jy in pyn. Wat jou behoefte ook al is. Daar is 'n groep. Daar is mense. En wanneer jy in daai spasie kan beweeg, kan jy groei of genesing of loskom aanbeweeg in jou lewe ervaar. Dit kan weekliks geskied. Dit party groepe kom van tyd tot tyd by mekaar en party groepe kom net vir 'n tyd in die jaar by mekaar. Afhangende van jou posisie waar jy is en wat en hoe jy dit nou kan doen, Hier is die uitnodiging. Herken jou spasie, want jy is een ontmoeting weg van 'n nuwe begin in jou lewe. En dan moet jy verder gaan met jou lewe. En dit is as jy op 'n plek kan kom waar jy kan gee. En dit geskied gewoonlik die beste 1-tot-1 of een wat vir 'n groep gee. Petrus sê, na mate jy 'n gawe ontvang, dien mekaar daarmee. As jy weet wat 'n gawes jy het, en jy is bewus van 'n nood en 'n behoefte om jou, wat hierdie gawe kan vervul en kan aanspreek, doen dit. Die uitnodiging is, gaan op 'n reis van selfontdekking. Ontdek jou plek. Dis die persoonlike uitnodiging. Saam wil ons 3 groot goed doen. Ons wil 'n aanlyn geloofsgemeenskap op Kyknet bou. Ons wil weer die groot hongersnood in ons omgewing aanspreek deur ten minste 8000 etes per dag te bedien in hierdie jaar wat voorlê. En dan het ons begin met 'n Engelse bediening wat ons wil ontwikkel. Een keer 'n jaar deel ons ons drome en dan vra ons vir jou. Kom ons vat hande. Hier is 'n persoonlike uitnodiging. Gee van jouself. Ons vra ook finansiëel dat ons hierdie boot kan in stand hou en dat ons kan doen wat ons wil doen. Die QR-kodes verskyn op die skerm. Indien jy van jou foon af kyk, volg die skakel in die kletsfunksie. Dit sê jou neem na die maniere van gee, as ook die invest commitment vorm. As jy nog glad nie iets gegee het nie of gee nie, vra ons jou om te oorweeg om te begin om maandeliks iets by te dra. Daardie geld gaan en word gesien as tiendes, help vir die bestuur en die salarisse wat betaal moet word. En dan het ons 'n invest wat gaan vir ons projekte wat ons aanpak vir die jaar wat voorlê. Daar is ook 'n jaarverslag beskikbaar op die webblad met terugvoer oor die afgelope jaar se bediening en finansies. Jy sou ook 'n e-pos dan ontvang wat die nodige inligting het en ook 'n paar baie interessante stories deel van wat gebeur het in die bediening in die jaar wat verby is. Vir enige navraag of meer inligting, kontak ons by invest@mosaic.com. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.